I've had so many emails sent to me from all over the world. People asking about the influence of media on the mind. And especially from a DVD that I put together, which was part of the God's Final Call series, which is entitled The Battle for the Mind. Many people started to realize the influence that music was having on their lives and television, etc., etc. But I've had other people that have asked me more in-depth questions and more difficult questions. How is the media specifically influencing our children? So what I decided to do was put together this short DVD. And if you have any questions or further information you'd like to find out, please contact me. The number will, the email will come up on the screen. My email address is info@homebase.org.za. Email me and let me know if there's some way we can help. We have some resources that could also maybe assist you in the fight that you're fighting to try and clean up your homes and protect your family against Satan's influence. What I'd like to do first, though, is to show you, as you've seen the graphic of the start of this presentation, I would like to just warn you that this presentation, I believe, is only suitable for 18s and over. However, you'll find that it does. That's not because I'm going to show pornographic images of photography of pornographic images. What I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be showing you images that are readily available for everyone to see while you're driving down the highway, billboards, which I don't believe should be available for everyone to see. So watch this as an adult, as a young adult or as a parent. Make your own mind up whether you feel your children should look at this. But I'm warning you up front so that you're aware and you can make a decision. Would you like to show your children this and make them aware of what's going on? What I'd like to do, the first couple of minutes of this presentation, I'd like to show you a video. It gives you some background as to how white patches, remember those two words, white patches, are burnt into our minds. Watch this.
All right, let's pick up where we left off last time. I want to study for a minute together the mind. And you've already had some of this with the doctor, but we're going to take it a little bit different avenue than he sure does, a little bit step farther. Let's go ahead and put up on the screen the picture of the brain. And look at a couple things, because your brain's capacity is unbelievable. And they're going to put this slide up. Your brain can actually process 30 billion bits of information per second. Your brain is the equivalent of 6,000 miles of wiring, literally in it. And it houses 28 billion neurons, which communicate with each other over 100,000 miles of nerve fibers, okay? Now, these neurons that we're talking about here, what these simply are, these are nerve cells that conduct impulses in your brain. And without these neurons, your brain would not be able to interpret the information that comes to you through your five senses, your taste, touch, smell, hearing, sight, and so on. Mm-hmm. Each one of these neurons is a tiny self-contained computer, and you got 28 billion of them, all right? Let's go to the next slide on the screen and read a little bit more here. It says you have about 28 billion neurons, nerve cells that conduct impulses. Each one can process over a million bits of information. So of the 28 billion neurons, each one itself can do a million bits of information. You've got over 100,000 miles of nerve fibers in your brain. And information from one single neuron can actually travel to over 700,000 of the neurons in less than 20 milliseconds. And so unlike our step-by-step computers today, your brain can literally take anything, any problem, anything you're dealing with, and it can work on these things all at the same time with all these 28 billion neurons. It's just an incredible setup that God has given us. And here's the problem we have then. Most of us try to work our way into changing our behavior. And we work at it, we try to change, and we give it all we got, and we fail, we get discouraged, and so on. When we have to realize the truth is, God has designed us in a way that our behavior is actually rooted in our nervous system, in the form of these neural pathways or neural connections, as they're called in medical science today. Ellen G. White, by the way, and I got to throw this in here right now. You know, she's such a blessing, and the more I read her, the more I realize she had to be inspired of God. And there's a couple quotes on this. You got to realize she writes this stuff back in the 1800s.
Right.
And medical science, what God revealed back there in the 1800s, medical science has figured this out in the last 20 years. It's amazing. Mm. And one of the first quotes I like is on page 60 out of her book, Mind, Character, and Personality. Great book. It says, the influence of the mind on the body, as well as of the body on the mind, should be emphasized. The electric power of the brain, prompted by mental activity, vitalizes the whole system. She talked about the electrical power of the brain. Literally, your brain is wired, literally like a computer. And most people don't realize, literally, it is that way. She goes on to say on page 72, the brain is the capital of the body. It's the seat of all the nervous forces and of mental action. The nerves proceeding from the brain control the body. By the brain nerves, mental impressions are conveyed to all the nerves of the body as by telegraph wires, and they control the vital action of every part of the system. All the organs of motion are governed by the communications they receive from the brain. All right, so these neural pathways control, she says, everything that has to do with your physical
Ellen
body.
Ellen White wrote that?
Back in
the knowledge back then?
God inspired that.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Medical science has literally discovered this in the last 20 years.
Hmm.
But it's just another proof of her inspiration, because this is amazing stuff.
Incredible.
And so anyway, let's take a look at it here. As medical science has discovered these electrical impulses, these hundreds of thousands of miles of wiring that's actually in our mind, this is what enables people to be able to jump from one thing to another. In other words, if I would say to our audience, can you smell a rose? Everybody can smell a rose, right? And this, you have a neural pathway that tells you what a rose smells like, okay? Mm-hmm. In fact, let's go to the next slide. You're gonna see an area here on the next slide. This is your brain magnified 15,000 times, okay? Mm-hmm. And let's go ahead and throw a little circle in there in the bottom right corner. And you'll notice there that you have these little cobweb little strands. What you're literally looking at, physical neural pathways. They are there. And I want to point this out because it's so important. It's like a fingernail. It's like a hair follicle. These things are physically there. So when I just gave the example of what does a rose smells like, well, that little place you see in their circle, that little strand,
yes,
that is what a rose smells like. It's recorded in your brain in that physical neural pathway. All right? If I would say to you the taste of chocolate, like we have this cake here, all right?
Yes.
Everybody in our audience can tell what chocolate tastes like. Well, again, if you look at that little circle there on the screen, one of those little neural pathways there tells you what chocolate tastes like, okay? A song in your mind, like the song you just heard him sing.
Mm-hmm.
That is recorded now in your mind in a physical neural pathway. It's there, physically there.
Wow.
Everything you've tasted, everything you've touched, everything you've seen, everything you've smelled, everything you've heard, everything you've experienced in your life is recorded in this brain in the form of a physical neural pathway. It's there, and it's there forever. Now, think about the power of that. It's incredible.
Yes, it is.
When people realize this for the first time, that everything I've seen, tasted, touched, smelled, everything that's come to my five senses is recorded in this brain in the form of a neural pathway, then something else dawns on us, and that is, it's almost scary. My behavior is actually rooted in my nervous system.
Mm.
When I lose my temper, that's because it's rooted in my nervous system. When I'm happy, it's in my nervous system. Anything I experience in life is in my nervous system. And what happens is this. Emotion or feeling or thought is that little thin neural pathway is traced there in your brain. And they found something else interesting in medical science today. Anytime you reaccess that behavior, that thought, that feeling, that emotion, or whatever it may be, every time you access it, guess what it does? It adds another strand to that same neural pathway.
Oh, have mercy.
You repeat the behavior again, it adds another strand. You hear the word again, it adds another strand. Every time you repeat it, it adds another strand to that neural pathway until that physical neural connection gets stronger and stronger. All right, let's go to the next slide in the upper left-hand corner, and you're going to see something else very, very interesting here. As they point out in the left-hand corner there, you'll see that white mass. Look at that white mass up there. What you've got there is thousands and thousands and thousands of these neural strands all bound together. All right?
Mm-hmm.
This person, let's say that this person has a problem with his temper, and he loses his temper all the time. All right, every time he loses his temper, he adds another strand. He loses his temper the next day, he adds another strand. Then let's say he watches a TV program, and in the TV program, the people are mad and losing their tempers. It adds another strand up there. All right, let's say he reads a book, and in the book, people are losing their tempers. Well, it adds another strand if he thinks that way. He's on the job. He sees people get mad on the job, lose their temper, adds another strand. Every time he sees it, experiences it, hears it, it adds another strand. And so it's your literature right now. You're seeing that mass together. And when people say, I can't help, I can't seem to help myself. You know what? Right, can't.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why. So now you're in your brain. And it's there, and it's there forever. And so the more out of pattern of behavior, likely that your behavior becomes. The more you strengthen it by repetition, the stronger. People have cables in their brains to certain behaviors like depression, and they just get it all the time, right?
So this could be a tremendous blessing or a tremendous curse,
yes,
can't it?
Because it works both ways. And you got to, because you use it positively or negatively. People that are always beholding things that make them negative or depressed or angry. It goes in their brain, and it's there, and they're going to end up doing it. They can't
help it. So it gives them almost like a natural propensity to be negative.
Exactly.
And even when something, I know someone that's related to me.
Yep.
That my brother said to me once, he said, this person tells lies a lot.
Yep.
Okay?
Great example.
And he said, this is the only person that I know that will tell a lie when it's convenient to tell the truth. So what's happened, he's told so many.
Exactly.
This is all bundled up, and it's a mass that's taken over.
That's
so
right.
When any opportunity comes, his propensity is to tell the lie rather than the truth,
right.
Even if it isn't, even if he doesn't associate any harm with telling the truth.
Yep.
It's more pleasurable to tell a lie, I guess.
It's a cable. He's got a cable to that behavior, and he can't help it. When he
scary.
Says, I can't help it, he's right. He can't.
And I hope you're going to tell us how to change
that. That's what we're going to get into.
Wow.
In order to do that, let's take it a step farther. This point. We live in a world of what we call stimulated response. If I say to you, birds of a feather, what do you say?
Flock together.
How do you know?
Well, I've heard it.
You heard it, that's right. Most birds don't flock together. Get a bird feeder, and you'll figure that out real quick. They hate each other, okay?
Yeah.
But you had an automatic, you didn't even think about it, you didn't analyze it, you didn't process it, you just had an automatic response. Mm-hmm. And you were right, okay? If I say to you, a man is known by the company he
keeps.
Right on. You didn't think about it. It was an automatic conditioned response.
Did you see what they were speaking about there? Inside the brain are what's called neuropathways. Every time you experience something, there's a neural pathway. It's a physical, it's like a cable or a piece of string that is put between one part of the brain to another part of the brain. And as you experience something and you re-experience that, you will add another cable next to it and then another one and another one and another one. So say, for example, somebody that has gone through a very traumatic experience, a rape. In that time that they are experiencing that, the intensity of their experience burns a very thick neuro cable into their brain. And from then on, they have that cable. There's nothing they can do about it. It's a physical cable that is embedded in your brain. Somebody else that maybe learns to take drugs. The first time they take drugs, it just builds a little cable. And then after that, every time they take it, there's another cable and another cable and another cable. And so negative habits are embedded in who we are and what we do. This works both for negative and positive. If, say, for example, I was to read the Bible, there would be a neuro pathway, a physical cable put between one area of the brain to another. Every time I reread that passage of the Bible, it would add on new neurological pathways. And eventually, whether it's negative or positive, whatever your experience is, it burns a white patch. I want you to say that after me. It burns a what? A white patch into your brain, your children's brain, whatever experiences are being repeated over and over and over. These are white patches, physical white patches that are in your brain. They stimulate or they are the cause of who you are. If you understand that there are these white patches in your brain, have a look at, for an example, at this little video clip. No audio. I just want you to watch the video. Have a look at this. You'll see in this video clip the actual neuro pathways of the brain. Those white blobs and the white lines and the white patches, those are the neuro pathways that are being built. While, say, for example, your child is learning the multiplication table. Say you're sitting at school and they're learning the multiplication table. 3 times 3 is, boom, 9. 5 times 5 is, boom, 25. 12 times 12 is, boom, 144. Those are neural pathways that are burnt in through repetition, right? That is what we learn at school, and that's how certain information is formulated in the mind. Now, if you were to take information and bind that together with emotion, that's when you have increased intensity, and the more intensity you have, the quicker it burns thicker cables. I hope that makes sense. So if you've been through a very traumatic experience or a very emotional experience or a very exciting experience, like bungee jumping, in a very short time, depending on the amount of emotions that you're going through, a very thick neural pathway can be burnt in very quickly. The less emotion there is involved, the longer it takes to burn in these neural pathways. And that's basically why the world is trying to lead us from education to edutainment. It's leading the children to form these neuropathways through sensory stimulation, which sounds good unless you understand how the brain works, right? There are three or four main sections to the brain. It's much more intricate than that, but I just want to focus on three of them. You have the frontal lobe. Behind the frontal lobe, you have the limbic system, then you have language, etc., but also at the back you have the subconscious mind. Now, I just want to speak about these three. The Bible tells us, and the Lord says, come, let us reason together. Come, let us use our cognitive thinking, our frontal lobe, and discuss things until they make sense. The limbic system, however, is the sensory stimulation. So bungee jumping would stimulate the limbic system, the excitement, and go through the senses straight into the limbic system. That would be a stimulation of the limbic system. Same with a negative experience like a rape, I told you. But now you have, for example, the power of the mind, you have the ability to override the conscious mind. What do I mean? If I'm standing on a bridge and I'm about to jump off the bridge, my cognitive thinking tells me, don't do this. It's dangerous. Your limbic system, your emotional system says, woo-wee, we're going for a jump, right? And your limbic system can override your cognitive thinking. So the lower powers of the brain can override the higher powers of the brain. This is what Satan did to Eve in the Garden of Eden. He questioned the link between her rational thinking and her emotional thinking. So he went and said, are you sure God is he hiding something from you? Isn't he letting you eat of all of the trees of the garden? Getting her to question her reasoning and her rationale about what she believed. And then the Bible says when she saw that the fruit was good to eat, and she saw that it would make her wise. In other words, through the stimulation of the senses, she made a cognitive decision to eat. Had she said, it is written, or the Lord has said, her higher power, the frontal lobe, would have overridden the limbic system. So I think that's easy to understand. But it's important to realize that whatever you experience, whatever you've ever thought or experienced, sensed, smelled, tasted, that's all in the form now of white patches in your brain. And your brain has got these billions upon billions upon billions of neurons which connect together and formulate this information. Now, these white patches become more critical when you look at the power of the subconscious mind. Watch this video with me.
I'd like to ask the audience, in fact, we can do that right now. What do you think about all day long? What is on your mind most of the day? And just take a minute and ponder that. What do you think about all day long? And then when you think about that, ask yourself this question. Did you ever notice that when you think in pictures? Mm-hmm. Everything that you've ever seen or tasted, heard, smelled, it's all recorded in your mind in the form of a picture. If I say Jesus Christ, you can see a picture of Jesus Christ. If I say a beautiful sunset, you can see that in your mind. If I say a plate full of squirming maggots, you know, you go, oh, that's gross. You can see it in your mind. Okay? So everything is there. Now, when you realize that too, there's a second step, and that is there's three things in life you cannot control. Number one, you can't control God. We all know that. He's sovereign. He can do what he wants. Number two, you can't control your five senses. Your senses are only capable of perceiving that which is obvious, and your senses can be very easily fooled, mm-hmm. like in a magic show or something like that. The third thing in the world that you cannot control is your subconscious mind. And the study of the subconscious mind is one of the most fascinating things in all that we've covered here this evening. Your subconscious mind, it actually has access to all the different departments of your brain, but it's not under control of any department, okay? Your subconscious mind works 24 hours a day, beginning even before you're born. Now, this is a question that goes back to what you just mentioned a minute ago. It just ties right in. They have found out from the time of 4 months, a baby in his mother's womb, the subconscious mind is already being formed, and the neural pathways are being formed. This is why some children are born automatically with bad tempers, and mothers wonder, why did my kid get a bad temper? Well, you watch television, mother, and you watch those soap operas where people got mad and lost their temper. And automatically, it was already programming your baby's subconscious mind before he was born. He heard it, and it was recorded in his brain. It's incredible. And you know, when husbands and wives yell at each other, the baby hears all that. It's all recorded in his brain. violence, when they watch violence on TV and murder, that violence is already pre-programmed in that child's mind, his subconscious mind, before
it's born.
Terrible
thing, but it also can be a great blessing.
That's right. When they watch 3 a.m., mm-hmm. and they watch things that are good and pure and holy and righteous and pure, that all goes into that baby's mind. That's why when you play music while it's still in the womb, that's all forming the subconscious mind. And those babies, they can do studies with them side by side. Mm-hmm. The one baby will be calm, it'll be happy, it'll be sweet. The other one will be violent and throw its temper and everything. Mm-hmm. Simply because the mind is already pre-programmed subconsciously before birth. Anyway, that's how powerful the subconscious, mind is. The other thing they've discovered is interesting. They've discovered the subconscious mind is susceptible to things that carry a great deal of emotion. Non-emotional things don't affect the subconscious mind. And this is why they find most people run their lives on emotions rather than intellect also. They've traced that. Let's compare it to a car. Your conscious mind, which is what we've talked about all night long, your conscious mind, where you think and reason and so on, make decisions, everything's processed here, that you have control over. And that could be like compared to the driver. The subconscious, however, is like the car. The power's in the car to move your life in a certain direction, or the subconscious mind, but the driver has the ability to direct that power, all right? So let's look a little bit deeper into this. The Bible talks about the conscious mind all the time, how we can control this. David said in Psalm 119, verse 113, I hate vain thoughts, but thy law I love. All right, that's in his conscious mind. Mm-hmm. Solomon said in Proverbs 12, verse 5, a good man's mind is filled with honest thoughts. That, again, is your conscious mind. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit thy works to the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Once again, your conscious mind. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's all in your conscious mind, okay? But now, let's see how it affects the subconscious. Let's go to the next slide, the last slide we have here. And it's a study of the difference between the conscious and the subconscious mind. Let's go to the right-hand side, the conscious mind. All your thinking and all your reasoning takes place in this area of your brain. All information and data is processed here. This area is constantly growing and expanding as you experience life every day. As I'm talking right now, everybody that's listening to this and watching this, their conscious mind is growing. Those neural pathways are going ballistic right now because I'm talking fast. And that part of your that's where everything takes place, all right? Mm-hmm. But now look at your subconscious mind on the left-hand side. It's different. There's no thinking here. There's no reasoning whatsoever. There's no deliberation. It can't tell if something's good or right or wrong or whatever. It acts instinctively, only in response to emotions and images that it receives from the conscious mind. That is so critical, understanding the difference between the conscious and the subconscious mind, okay? Now, what happens is this. Any dominating thoughts that you permit to occupy your conscious mind, whether they're positive or negative, good or bad, true or a lie, any dominating thoughts you permit to occupy this brain are then passed into your subconscious mind. But remember, it doesn't know the difference. It can't tell whether it's reality or not, true or not. It can't deliberate. It can't reason. It just accepts whatever you give it as fact taking place in your life. Mm. And then it creates within that person, in physical words and actions and emotions, what has been given. Now, most people never realize that or the power of that, because your subconscious mind will translate a reality in your life just as easily something negative or evil as it will something positive or good.
Give me an example.
Let's make it practical. Let's say that, like a typical American, they fill their mind up with 40 hours of television a week, and they've done surveys on this. And in 40 hours of television, we're taking primetime TV. We're not talking HBO, Cinemax, or all that other evil stuff. We're talking about the best weather is on CBS, NBC, ABC, all right? The three cleanest channels. You'll find an average of 22 times an hour people murder each other on primetime television, 22 times an hour, all right? Not only that, you'll find 11 times an hour people lose their tempers. You'll find out that 5 times an hour people commit immoral acts, like adultery or fornication. All right. Now, think about that. All those things involve huge emotions. When you murder someone, that's one of the most violent emotions you'll experience in your physical body. All right? When people lie, that involves a very strong emotion. When they commit adultery, that's the strongest emotion we have, our human sex drive. All right. All that has been put into your conscious mind. You've watched people do it. You've read the books. You've seen the soap operas. All that has gone to that conscious mind. What happens then, because it's so filled with emotion, it goes straight into your subconscious mind, and your subconscious mind accepts it as reality. Most people don't understand how this works. But when you see somebody murdered on television, your subconscious mind accepts the fact that you are the one that pulled the trigger. Mm. When you see someone commit adultery on television, your subconscious mind, remember, it can't deliberate, it can't reason, it doesn't know the difference between right and wrong. Your subconscious mind accepts the fact that you are performing the act in committing adultery. When you see some people lie on television, your subconscious mind accepts the fact that you lied. And what happens is, it accepts...
Because your thinking mind is taking it in.
That's right.
And so it doesn't know but what you did it, or you just took it in and watched it.
That's exactly right. This is the reason. You know, the Bible says, by beholding we become changed.
Well, then how does that affect how I act, the subconscious? Does it bring it back to me?
No, that's what the point is. Your subconscious is what drives your behavior. Hmm. Your subconscious will then, as I said, create within you an equivalent of what you've been given. This is why our society is out of control. This is why kids can go like they did in Colorado and take a gun and blow away a bunch of their friends, and it doesn't even bother them. Because when you're in, let's say you're in a computer virtual world, and you're watching in the most sadistic way possible, blowing away this opponent, blowing away this opponent, and so on, and you watch this on television, all these video games. Yeah.
Okay.
When that goes, the mind is accepting, you're doing it. Pretty soon you're totally desensitized to the sanctity of human life, and you're going to go out there and kill somebody. It's not going to bother you. This is why crime has escalated. This is why immorality has escalated. You can't put all that in. Mm-hmm. Without thinking it's going to affect you, because it's going to come out. Your subconscious mind accepts it and brings it out in your words, your actions, and so on. All right, now, this is also another explanation why so many people feel so helpless when it comes to changing their behavior. You can't change your actions until this has been renewed. Your conscious mind has to be renewed by feeding it good things. And I want to go back to the other side now, because this is the point you hit on earlier.
Okay.
Let's switch it. Let's say you put in your mind good television, like you watch here on 3ABN, good books, and you're reading your Bible every day, and your mind is filled with God's love, His patience, His kindness, His goodness, His gentleness, the fruits of the Spirit. When you watch things that are wholesome, good, and true, and pure, all that's been fed in your conscious mind. It carries a great deal of emotion. It goes straight into your subconscious mind. Your subconscious mind, remember, can't deliberate, it can't reason, it doesn't know right from it, just accepts whatever it's given. And so as soon as it's put in subconscious mind, your subconscious then brings out in your words, your actions, your deeds, your thoughts, your mannerisms. This is why, when you work at your behavior, you can't change it. But when you let God renew your mind and do your part of cooperating with God, it's automatic, and you don't have to try to change. It operates on laws. Let me put it this way. If I pull out my pen here, and I hold this pen up, and I let it go, what's going to happen? It's going to fall. Does it fall every time?
Yes.
Why?
You let it go, gravity's going to take it down.
It's a law. It's called gravity.
Mm-hmm.
The longer I live and the longer I'm in ministry, I'm convinced of something. God operates on fixed laws, and there's no exceptions. And when people come to me and say, Leo, I've been praying about this, and I've asked God to help me, and I've asked God to give me strength, and I've been working with it for 30 years, and I can't seem to overcome it. I ask them, how much TV are you watching every week? First question I ask them, 30 hours. What books do you read? They tell me murder mysteries and novels and so romances. And I say, you know, God can't even hear your prayer if you're violating His law. And you can pray till the cows come. Well, I can stand on the edge of a cliff 3,000 feet down and say, Dear God, hear my prayer. Dear God, I don't want to die. Dear God, keep me from splattering my guts down below. And I can jump off there and pray the whole way down, flapping my little hands. And I'm going to splatter my guts and kill myself when I hit the bottom. I don't care how much I pray, because I'm violating the law.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as I'm violating the law of putting in all the evil and the negativity and all that the world has out there, I will never overcome the sins of my life. I will never have a life of power. I will never be renewed. I've got to cooperate with God and put that which is good and pure and right and true in my conscience. And when you do that, that is when a life of power and victory begins. And I want to encourage our audience, do it. Jesus tells us in Romans 12, verse 2, He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If you want your life to be transformed and have power and victory every day, to be positive every day, be happy every day, to experience this abundant life of God, you have got, it says, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This has got to be changed first. Then the subconscious automatically is changed. Then your life is automatically changed. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Man, I love that one. You can read in Matthew 22, verse 37. God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and your mind. And now that makes sense. How do I love God with my mind? I love God with my mind by putting in that which is pure and good and right and true and noble and biblical. That's how it's done. And it's just great. And so I want to encourage people. You've been struggling with things in your life. If there have been habits that have bound you for years, follow these principles we've learned tonight and begin to put in only the things that are good. If you've got negative things in there, just interrupt those neural pathways and put in a new pathway, and God will give you the ability to do that and strengthen a new pathway until it becomes an automatic condition response. Just by applying these simple things we've learned tonight, God can transform your life if you cooperate with His Bible principles. It's always been there, and it's simple, and it's easy to do.
Isn't that great? That's the power of the subconscious. It can be a great blessing, but it can also be a great curse, depending on the decisions that you make and what you allow yourself to absorb. Now, we as parents today, we have a problem with our children. Previously, we were allowed to spank them or give them hidings in order to bring them into line. As a good parent, disciplined. Like the Bible says, you spare the rod, you spoil the child. If my child is playing on the highway or in the street, I have to go and fetch my child. If she doesn't listen and runs back, I fetch her again and I reprimand her. If she doesn't listen again, I really have to speak to her. And if she still doesn't listen and runs back, I have to, it's my duty, not because I hate her, but because I love her, that I have to reprimand her. I have to give her a punishment, a disciplinary, in order for her to realize this is where she's safe and that's where she's unsafe. Now, that's what the Lord's done for us. He's asking us, please, listen to me. Renew the mind, gird up the loins of the mind, you know, have the mind of Christ. And this is what the Lord's talking about. He's not talking about the limbic emotional system. He's talking about the cognitive thinking. And he wants us also to realize that at the end of time, there will be a mark of the beast given on the forehead or on the hand. And that forehead, that means your cognitive thinking. There's an attack on the mind, and Satan is turning this upside down. Just like in the Garden of Eden, he got the lower powers of Eve to override the cognitive thinking, the higher powers. Today, he's doing exactly the same with our children. And we, as adults and our children, are more and more involved in PC games, in television, in movies, and all of those and many, many others stimulate the limbic system, the emotions. Reading the Word of God, however, stimulates the mind, the cognitive mind. And that's when they say, oh, but this is so boring. But that's the point. Today, we've allowed our children, especially, we've allowed ourselves to get molded to constantly look for stimulation. That's why you have the arcade games in the big shopping malls. That's why today the vehicle that you buy has got the option of putting DVD screens in the back seats. Why? Because now the kids have got the more capacity to take in information? No. Now they're available because we don't know how to keep our kids quiet, so that we throw another DVD at them. We throw another stimulative substance, McDonald's burger and chips with a Coke. Shut up and sit at the back and watch your DVD. Just leave us alone for a while. So the stimulation of the mind is happening now through the limbic system and no longer through the frontal lobe. And that is where Satan's greatest attack is, on God's people, but also on the rest of the world. And I'd like to ask you a question. Where do you think this all starts? How do you think Satan is going to attack us? Where does this all start? Well, dictionary.com, and this is specifically going to Random House Dictionary, explains that the subliminal mind, the word subliminal means existing or operating below the threshold of consciousness, which is insufficiently intense to produce a discrete sensation, but being designed to be intense enough to influence the mental processes or the behavior of the individual. So subliminal literally means low enough not to be able to stimulate the sensations, but intense enough to be able to adjust the mental process and behavior of an individual. Have a look for a moment at this graphic, and you'll see that the circles are moving. Have a look at the whole picture, and you'll see that the circles are moving. Some of them are turning clockwise, some of them are turning anti-clockwise. Now, while you're looking at the picture, look at the top left circle. Top left. Is it moving? No. Now, move your eye to the far right circle. Is that moving? No. In actual fact, none of these circles are moving. But our minds are so convinced about what we see that it stimulates the mind to believe that the circles are moving. Here's another example. An image of some flowers. Now, they look like pretty flowers, maybe that have been drawn for some sort of cartoon. But do you notice anything about these flowers? Let me color it in and maybe make it a little bit clearer. What do you see there? Can you see it? Right in between the flowers there, you have the letters sex, S-E-X. This is a perfect example of subliminal advertising. This is a perfect example of an image that has been produced to explain the power of something that's hidden inside that you don't immediately pick up. Now, this is an example that's been created to give you insight, but let me give you some others. Have a look at this Skittles packet, which is a type of sweet that you can get in the shop. You see the skittles? And it says berry explosion. But notice how they've placed that red S of the S next to the berry explosion. Do you notice the berry sexplosion? Quite interesting. Have a look at this example. How many of you at home have got the Xbox facility? PlayStation or Xbox. Well, many, many people know Need for Speed 2, right? It's a very well-known computer game. Now, if you don't know what you're looking for, you won't see it immediately. So I'm going to bring it a little bit closer. I'll turn it on its side. Notice the top right-hand corner of the big picture, or now I've turned it on its side, the bottom right-hand corner down here of the picture that's lying on its side. What do you notice down there at the bottom? Can I zoom in a bit more? What do you see there? Can you see how it's been embedded subconsciously? Go back home. Look at your Xbox Need for Speed 2 and check it out. You'll see it for yourselves. Let me give you another example. Here's the 50 rupee note from the government of the Seychelles. This note, what do you notice there behind the queen? Let me zoom in a little bit and make it a little bit clearer. Can you see it there? Now, consciously, you won't notice that. But subconsciously, it's very powerful. Here's some more. Pepsi. So what about a Pepsi tin? Well, if you've got one Pepsi tin on top of another, so what? Makes no difference. Unless, of course, I highlight it for you. Can you see how they formulated S-E-X to fit on the Pepsi cans, on one on top of another? One thing I want you to understand is to realize that there is an agenda. There's an agenda to influence your thinking and your children's thinking. There's a plan underway to soften the minds of the public, what's called dumbing down the people. And they bombard us. I'm only giving you a couple of examples, but they bombard us through Pepsi cans and through Skittles packets and Xbox with ideas that stimulate the limbic system, override the cognitive thinking. Say, for example, the Xbox. If your husband or your children are playing on the Xbox and you say, dinner's ready, or come, let's have some fellowship together around the dining room table. What's more important to them? To carry on with the Need for Speed to finish the race? Or do they press pause or even cancel the game and run to the table to have some frontal lobe activity? Today, everything is about stimulating the lower powers to override the higher powers. And that's all they're trying to do, because the more information the media can pump into our minds, the more they can influence the subconscious, which is where the real power of mankind lives. Our subconscious is like a recording mechanism. It's a sponge of information. It doesn't know what's real. It doesn't know what's imagined. When you're playing Xbox, your subconscious doesn't know if it's you driving or if you are imagining that you're driving. It just sucks up information like a vacuum cleaner. Vacuum cleaner doesn't know if you're picking up a nail or a piece of hair or whatever. It makes no difference to the vacuum cleaner. That's exactly how the subconscious is. So when you see these type of images that I've just shown you, understand that these are planted there to stimulate the midbrain to infiltrate the subconscious. Here's another example. When you walk into the movies next time, take a look at the wall. You might not see it immediately, but those of you that are aware will immediately pick up the pattern now between the S-E-X, starting with Superman and ending with X-Men. This is a planned agenda, brothers and sisters, with the attack on and the influence of the media on our children. So let's focus more specifically on the younger generation. I'm talking now the children to the teenagers. The Nemo age. Okay, no, maybe not. We all Nemo people, right? I know old people that just love Nemo, so let's get Toy Story, and you know the things that the children are watching that are stimulating the children. These images that I'm about to show you, I've done my best to cover up the real grim parts, but I want to make sure that you understand, just like your TV tells you that there's language, violence, nudity, etc. on coming up, these images have nudity in them. Have a look at this for a moment. Do you remember the Lion King? You remember Lion King? Simba, he walks over, he's had a pretty tough time, and he flops himself down on that little patch and those on dandelions, and out comes that puff of dust, out in there where the stars are. You can see up there, you can see the patch of dust that's gone up, and that's dandelions and dust, etc. Now, if you look at those four frames, these are four consecutive frames from the Lion King, you wouldn't notice anything unless you know what to look for and unless you realize that there is an agenda. If I was to write it in for you over there, it would become clearer. Let me take it away again for you. Do you notice that there's an agenda there? You can even see it now clearly in this frame, S, E, and the X over there. Brothers and sisters, this is not the only place that they do it. You have a look, for example, in The Lion King, there's a moment when, I forget what her name is, but Simba's sister, or the little lady next to Simba, the father walks away and says, "Come with me." And as he's walking away, there's a moment when he's very down, and she says, "I thought you were very brave." And I didn't include this because I want you to go back and check to see what I'm saying is true. And as he walks away with his head hung low, she says, "I thought you were very brave." And as they turn, in the rock face behind Simba is an enormous erect penis. Right? Either it's done with words or it's done with images. I get people that say to me, "Yeah, but if it's just written S-E-X and my 3-year-old or my 5-year-old doesn't know how to read yet, then it doesn't mean anything to them." Understand that I'm focusing this DVD at two levels, the people that can read and the people that can't. I'll get to some of the images just now. But there are images. There's another one you can go home, put in your Lion King and pause it at the moment. You know when, I don't know what that little monkey is called anymore, but that monkey takes little Simba and does almost like a baptism ceremony with him. He takes his thumb and he puts his thumb like with some water or something across the forehead. As he does that, pause where he's put the like ceremony thing across his forehead. Just pause it there and have a look. Hidden in that liquid on his forehead is again the words S-E-X, the most important moment for this child, this sort of baptism moment or the christening moment, has it embedded in it. Subliminally, of course, the words S-E-X. What about others like Little Mermaid? There's one that you can look at to find an image which is not specifically S-E-X. If you look at the cover this is the DVD that was produced. Is there anything fancy that you know about it? Well, besides that she's dressed a little bit inappropriately for young children. Let me zoom in a little bit more. And I apologize for the graphic nature of this, but I don't have any other way to show you but to show you, right? What do you notice right in the center of that sort of pipe organ picture there? Let me zoom in. What do you notice there? Can you see it quite clearly? It's an erect penis. Right? It's not there by chance. Not if you put all these dots together. You can see it immediately. That is there to stimulate you and your children into subliminal activity. Again, just one other opportunity to influence the subconscious. Let me give you another example. Who framed Roger Rabbit, another Walt Disney movie? Four frames that I'm going to show you now, which come from that movie, four still frames, and I've had to even put in a little white block because these four frames, as you can see, are extremely graphic. You notice for a moment how this lady, this voluptuous lady, is exposing everything that she has to the little children, but it's done so quickly. Four frames, and boom, it's gone. Hardly that you can even pick it up. It saddens me to even have to do this lecture because that stuff shouldn't be there. But I want you to realize that in the films like The Incredibles and Toy Story. Toy Story, by the way, was made by Atari, which is headed up by a certain gentleman, the founder of Apple, right? Steve Jobs. And this gentleman is an avid supporter of the Church of Satan. He's a Satanist. And he's trying to influence your children. That's why when you see in Shrek, when Shrek goes in Shrek 2 to go and fetch King Arthur, and Shrek puts King Arthur over his shoulder in front of all those people, you'll see that King Arthur gives, and I'm not going to show you because it's a satanic sign, and he just go and pause it there and watch his hands, and you'll see, boom, up come the hands showing the sign of Satan on King Arthur. These are symbols which are embedded in the DVDs to soften the minds of your children. It's the same sign, by the way, as Spider-Man has, the supposed good guy. Let me give you another example of this profanity which they're putting into the minds of our children. These are children's movies, like The Rescuers. Have a look at this. The Rescuers, here are the two mice sliding down the gutter. They've got a little sardine tin. And as they're sliding down the gutter, they go past an open window. This is an absolute split second that they pass past the window. But please let me zoom in. Allow me to zoom in and show you what's in the window, right? Can you see it there, that naked woman? There's the frame, the second frame, as they passed it. And you can see quite clearly the naked woman standing with her arms outstretched, exposing what she has for these poor children's minds to absorb. I don't know how to soften this, except to tell you. So I can't really soften it. The media has an agenda to infiltrate your children's minds. The media has an agenda to infiltrate your mind. If Jesus was on earth, what type of movies do you think he would watch? What type of DVDs or TV? Do you think he would sit and waste his time with soap operas? All those people sleeping with one another? I mean, Days of Our Lives and what's this? Bold and the Beautiful. I mean, there's just children from everyone, and so-and-so is marrying so-and-so for the third or fourth time. It's satanic. And yet, we sit for hours and we absorb this stuff, and our subconscious doesn't know why we are so sexually stimulated. We don't know why we're so sexually stimulated, but our subconscious is full of information about sexual stimulation. Let me take you for a moment to Beauty and the Beast. There's a good story for our children to watch, right? Well, it is if you don't understand the subliminal advertising. Please look for a moment where his eyes are focused. Can you see the beast? And you see how she's leaning back to expose what she has? And as she leans back, look at his eyes and look at his face. Yes, it's a split second. But so many of us, as we're walking down the street, turn for a split second just to get a glimpse of something that the Lord says, please do not covet what doesn't belong to you. So as she leans back and, oh, closes up again, so he looks down and gets that glimpse to stimulate the minds, the limbic system of our children. I'm always quite disgusted when I see this image because I think to myself, who would have even put this together? Can you imagine the sick person that put this joyride together for this little girl? I mean, some of us giggle. When I show this to an audience, the audience giggle, but it's a nervous giggle. Because they realize something is wrong. This is not right. You can't do this for children. Okay, so you see that they use wording and you see that they use images. Now, that's on the movies. What about normal advertising? Here's an image from a bread company. Does this somehow look to you like it could possibly influence your thinking? Right? Bread is life. It's pretty disgusting if you think about it. What about this one, right? This is a big billboard which was put up. I don't think they're taking any chances. They know exactly what they're busy with. Here's an interesting one from Coca-Cola. And as you can see at the bottom right-hand corner of this Coca-Cola, inside the ice cubes down at the bottom over there, you will see, if you zoom in, you will see this image. Obviously, we don't have to explain what that is. But then we wonder why. Why is my son so addicted to pornography? Why is my daughter battling with all these people that just want the young people? All they want is sex before marriage. You know, we must live together to make sure we're compatible before we get married. Don't share a bed together to make sure that you're compatible. Share a checkbook for a while, and then you'll see if you're compatible or not. Right? Forget about the sex. Sex, just think about this. You got the frontal lobe, you got the stimulation, the limbic system, you got the subconscious. When you go through hypnosis, you drop the cognitive thinking. That's the danger of it. The Lord says, gird up the loins of your mind, protect the frontal lobe. Satan says, drop it. Let me infiltrate and influence your limbic system. And that's exactly what happens through hypnosis. That's why you can't remember anything when you come back and your cognitive thinking's back and you say, huh, what happened? Right? You've seen the TV shows. The same thing happens even with our experiences while under hypnosis. Satan is able to introduce experiences. Like for me, when I was still part of the occult, I went into my supposed past lives, which is a big lie, right? I've been able to realize it was a lie. But at that time, it was so real because those images were being implanted into my limbic system and into my subconscious and being pulled from my subconscious into what's called reality. That's not reality. That's the war for the mind that's going on at the moment. Why do you think Satan is so obsessed with sex? Why do you think he's influencing us and our children to be so obsessed with sex? Well, it's because the angels are not able to procreate. Do you know angels in the Bible do not have any genitalia? They're always depicted as male, so they're always very powerful figures. But they do not have the ability to procreate. And sex amongst humans is the most powerful emotion that we can feel. It's a period of time, but its intensity is what drives the white patches into the brain. And that's the reason why, and I have to speak straight about this, and I apologize for those of you that might take offense, but somebody has to speak to our children. I travel all over the world. You know what most of the questions are when people come and speak to me in silent? I have a problem with masturbation. I just can't help myself. What's going on? You know, I've tried to stop and I just can't. And then you tell them, let me explain to you how the brain works. There are white patches that are burnt in and they're like, that makes so much sense. That's why my behavior is as a result of the neuropathways. So every time you do something and now you add sex to it, it's stimulated and the white patch becomes even thicker. You get like a fat cable between areas of your brain. And smoking is the same thing. Drinking is the same thing. To overcome that is a real burden. But let's get back to the sexual stimulation, because that's, I think, the most important thing that we need to look at for them. All things start there, because I want you to realize that Satan's attack on the mind today is based on the midbrain. He uses our senses, stimulates our senses in order for us to make reason or decisions which we otherwise wouldn't have made. If you're a traveler, by the way, before I show you the next slide. If you're a traveler, anyone that's been to any airport in the world and has seen a Cellini or a Cellini, you know those bags that you pull along when you pack your bag? The Cellini bags, the roller bags, have a look at their advertising. You'll see that there's always some voluptuous woman straddled over a chair with her Cellini next to her. Or you'll see some handsome hunk with his chest open. And it's pretty pathetic. They use sex to sell their product. I mean, it's well known that they do that. But that's because the Cellini product is slightly more expensive, they're trying to get you to have stimulation in the midbrain to overcome the problem of price so that the lower powers override the higher powers. Here's an example. And funny enough, this is a chocolate company. And what I've done is I've got the graphic there, which you can see the nut that's been broken over and the chocolate pouring out of it into the nuts below. But let me turn it upside down and maybe it'll become even clearer. That is the power of subliminal advertising. You see, 1 Peter 5 verse 8 says, "Be sober and be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And I put in brackets there, especially our children. It's ugly, right? And I'm thankful that people have the courage to approach me and speak to me about this, because this is a problem worldwide. Do you remember the movie The Silence of the Lambs? It was a pretty scary movie, right? You remember the whole thing with that guy with his mask on? Pretty shocking movie. Now, this was the image that was displayed at movie theaters all over the world with the face with her red eyes and the moth And in the middle of the moth, you remember the skull that's in the middle over there, right? Pretty grim. Well, I want to zoom in on that skull for a moment. There's the skull. What do you notice? What do you notice about the skull? Do you see there's a lady, there's her head, and there's her one arm, and there's her other arm? And here is the back of one lady. Here's the back of another lady. And these two ladies are inside the legs. Can you see the legs there? There's the legs of the lady on top. And here are the feet of these two ladies. The Silence of the Lambs is the poster that was stuck up on the wall is a brilliant example of the attack of the media on the minds of humanity. Where we say, oh, what's that skull doing there? But embedded in that skull is homosexuality plus sexuality, stimulation, things that we do in secret that people went to go and watch this movie not knowing why they wanted to go and watch this movie. And in the movie, they then embedded new things which were even more satanic than the poster itself. In closing, I want to show you one or two more images. This one's from Dodge. Have you seen Dodge? The vehicle manufacturer, there's their logo. If I put it next to a picture of the genitalia of a woman, can you see the uterus, the cervix, the ovaries, the vagina? And that is a perfect description that what they've done is they've taken the sexual organs of the woman and turned that into the image of Dodge, which is now the goat. But remember, it's not just the goat. Who's the goat? Do you remember the goat of Mendes from the lectures? We discussed the goat of Mendes in the battle for the mind and in the passion of the Christ. We discussed the goat of Mendes is Satan, right? Even in Freemasonry, the goat of Mendes is the one that the Templars worshipped previously. He's the one with the five-pointed star on his forehead, the Lucifer, the light bearer, the male-female combination. What they're showing you here is the goat being the male combining with the female organ, the genitalia. It's actually pretty disgusting. When I prepared this lecture, it was the middle of March. In fact, I was called into a school to do a presentation on the battle for the mind and the influences of the media on the mind. And I think it was the 13th of March this year, 2009, somewhere around there that I had to do the presentation. What had happened the day before I did the presentation was that in Germany, a little boy called, I think it was Tim Kretschmer, I'll get to the name now when I look at the next slide, a beautiful boy walked into school and shot up his friends. Have a look at this BBC News article. Germany mourns school shootings. Look at this beautiful boy. Normal kid. You know, mid-teens, sort of teenager. I can't remember his age. You know, flags are being flown at half-mast across Germany as the mark of respect to the 15 people who were killed by a teenage gunman on Wednesday. This happened, let me go back one slide so that you can see. This article is from the 12th of March, 2009. This happened on the 11th of March, or the 10th of March, somewhere in the middle of March. There you have it. Tim Kretschmer opened fire on pupils and teachers at his former school. What happened? Well, let me skip down. You can pause and read this later. The teenager entered the Albertville Secondary School north of Stuttgart dressed in black combat gear. Black combat gear. Is that something that you would normally have at home? Do you go gardening? Do you go horse riding with black combat gear? No, of course not. So where does this black combat gear come from? Well, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure this out, but let me give you a news article to tell you what it's about, right? Bild.com, which is one of the German websites, even tells you, Kretschmer reportedly spent hours each day on his computer watching horror movies and playing games. He liked games like Counter-Strike, a friend said. So I said, oh, okay, I don't know what Counter-Strike is. Let me go and have a look. So I went and had a look, and there's this product called Counter-Strike. Do you notice what they're wearing? Can you see it's black combat gear? Well, I want to make sure you understand something. The Lord is asking us to protect the frontal lobe. Why? Because Satan is getting our young people to be stimulated, but all you see is they have to be surgically removed from their cell phones these days, right? Constantly on their cell phones. Other children are busy with computer games or overeating with McDonald's and all these stimulating foods, midbrain foods. There's an absolute onslaught on the midbrain to get us to look for stimulation. And we're not giving our kids hidings anymore. We now give them pills. And when your child is looking for stimulation and is bouncing all over the classroom, okay, they must have ADD. Here's a prescription. Boom, put the kid on Ritalin. Do you know that Ritalin is a weak form of cocaine? So now we've got a real problem, because Satan has not only got the child through stimulation, but the only way to subdue the stimulation and to even let them think that they have a frontal lobe is to give them a drug. We are looking at the next generation, the young people that are going to take over this continent, this planet. And they don't even have the ability to have a frontal lobe anymore. People are walking into schools and they think gun control is going to solve this problem. Gun control is going to, if I'm overweight, gun control is the same as blaming the spoon for me being overweight. Right? Gun control isn't going to solve the problem. Stimulation of the midbrain is going to solve the problem. And we as parents and adults are the gatekeepers of what our children should be watching. If your child eats a lot of chocolates or sugar or candy or chips, you know, these crisp things, what is the reaction from your child as he walks to the entrance at the supermarket and he has to walk through those rows of all those sweets? And what do they say? Mom, Dad, can I have one? And you say no. And they have a tantrum. Why? Because of the stimulation. They're looking for more and more and more stimulation. You know, specifically focusing on Tim Kretschmer, it's not just him. The other day they had that shootout at Columbine University. So all over the world, we can see there's a problem. I want to show you a video clip. And this video clip is made by a company that actually is warning against video games, computer games for your kids. This company has put together, just stood down with a camera and spoke to a young child. I don't know how old is this child, maybe 10, 12 years old. You decide for yourself. Listen to this child's words and hear what this child has to say about prostitutes and chopping their heads off, things that would absolutely gross any adult out. It's quite normal for this person. Just listen to the... Listen, just think for a moment. What's going on in this child's mind? Look at the subconscious and listen to what he says.
There's this club down the street that's fun, so I go in and shoot this woman in the head, and people are screaming and running all over, and there's blood everywhere. There's this cop next to me who sees what I did, but he's got body armor, so I can't shoot him, so I throw gasoline on him and light it, and he screams and runs around, and he dies. There's this prostitute, and they're super hard to kill. So I grab a machete and cut her head off.
Isn't that sad? You see how normal it is. And remember those video clips I showed you in the beginning. The subconscious mind doesn't know what's real or what's imagined. So imagine the filth that beautiful child has in his mind. And then we wonder, oh, how is it possible that somebody could walk in and blow our friends away at school? We just can't understand it. Do you know that the brilliant professors around the world have not yet been able to put a link between computer games and school violence? It's somehow, they just can't see a link. Well, brothers and sisters, they're not allowed to see a link because the media has control over what you and I are supposed to tell them. And if you want to still have a license to practice openly on national TV, international TV, you cannot go out and say the computer games are causing the shootings. You'll lose your license like that. So they still can't find a link. Let your kids watch it. So now they put on an age restriction on your child's PC games. You know, there's a war on. There's a war going on at the moment for the minds of our children. And I want to show you a couple of texts from the Word of God that are quite clear about how we need to gird up the loins of the mind. It says in Ephesians 6, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places." That's exactly the point. We are not wrestling against flesh and blood here. We are wrestling against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see this image of this woman with her beautiful daughter? You see the hand signals of this daughter? Well, this is the hand signal of King Arthur as Shrek picks him up. This is the hand signal of Spider-Man, the good guy. It just happens to also be the hand signal of Satan, which they put onto our children's games so that they will run around making the signs of Satan, not knowing what they're busy doing. Acts 17, verse 11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all the readiness of their frontal lobe, with all the readiness of mind, and they searched the scriptures daily, checking whether those things were so. Romans 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's the message, brothers and sisters. Please, through computer games, through cell phones, through the food we eat, through the things we watch on TV, through the soap operas, through the movies, through the advertising, Satan is trying to get us to open and ungird the loins, the frontal lobe of our mind. Jesus is saying, don't do it. Please don't do it, especially things like hypnosis. But forget about that, that's just ridiculous. I'm talking about things like TV, movies, your child's computer games. Protect your child's minds. Allow them to gird up the loins of their minds. Yes, they're going to say it's boring. But let them build a cable and let them burn another cable in and another cable in and another cable in. And if you just keep on repeating that time with them in the Word of God, eventually it's going to make a difference, brothers and sisters. I'd like to close with Hebrews 8, verse 10. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind, into their frontal lobe, and will write them in their hearts. And I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. This is what it's all about. The Lord wants you to be a people for Him. Satan wants you to be a people for Him. Satan will use stimulation to override the frontal lobe. The Lord will use the frontal lobe to override your stimulation. And He's asking you, He wants to write your law, His laws into your frontal lobe, so that you can receive the seal of God on your frontal lobe instead of the mark of the beast on your frontal lobe, which is the forehead.
Sounds good. All right, let's pick up where we left off last time. I want to study for a minute together the mind. And you've already had some of this with the doctor, but we're going to take it a little bit different avenue than he sure does, a little bit step farther. Let's go ahead and put up on the screen the picture of the brain. And look at a couple things, because your brain's capacity is unbelievable. And they're going to put this slide up. Your brain can actually process 30 billion bits of information per second. Your brain is the equivalent of 6,000 miles of wiring, literally in it. And it houses 28 billion neurons, which communicate with each other over 100,000 miles of nerve fibers, okay? Now, these neurons that we're talking about here, what these simply are, these are nerve cells that conduct impulses in your brain. And without these neurons, your brain would not be able to interpret the information that comes to you through your five senses, your taste, touch, smell, hearing, sight, and so on. Mm-hmm. Each one of these neurons is a tiny self-contained computer, and you got 28 billion of them, all right? Let's go to the next slide on the screen and read a little bit more here. It says you have about 28 billion neurons, nerve cells that conduct impulses. Each one can process over a million bits of information. So of the 28 billion neurons, each one itself can do a million bits of information. You've got over 100,000 miles of nerve fibers in your brain. And information from one single neuron can actually travel to over 700,000 of neurons in less than 20 milliseconds. And so unlike our step-by-step computers today, your brain can literally take anything, any problem, anything you're dealing with, and it can work on these things all at the same time with all these 28 billion neurons. It's just an incredible setup that God has given us. And here's the problem we have then. Most of us try to work our way into changing our behavior. And we work at it, we try to change, and we give it all we got, and we fail, we get discouraged, and so on. When we have to realize the truth is, God has designed us in a way that our behavior is actually rooted in our nervous system, in the form of these neural pathways, or neural connections, as they're called in medical science today. Ellen G. White, by the way, and I got to throw this in here right now. You know, she's such a blessing, and the more I read her, the more I realize she had to be inspired of God. And there's a couple quotes on this. You got to realize she writes this stuff back in the 1800s.
Right.
And medical science, what she, you know, what God revealed back there in the 1800s, medical science has figured this out in the last 20 years. It's amazing. Mm. And one of the first quotes I like is on page 60 out of her book, Mind, Character, and Personality. Great book. It says, the influence of the mind and the body, as well as of the body and the mind, should be emphasized. The electric power of the brain, prompted by mental activity, vitalizes the whole system. She talked about the electrical power of the brain. Literally, your brain is wired, literally like a computer. And most people don't realize, literally, it is that way. She goes on to say on page 72, the brain is the capital of the body. It's the seat of all the nervous forces and of mental action. The nerves proceeding from the brain control the body. By the brain nerves, mental impressions are conveyed to all the nerves of the body as by telegraph wires, and they control the vital action of every part of the system. All the organs of motion are governed by the communications they receive from the brain. All right, so these neural pathways control, she says, everything that has to do with your physical
Ellen
body.
Ellen White wrote that?
Back in
the knowledge back then?
God inspired that.
I wouldn't have thought so.
Medical science has literally discovered this in the last 20 years.
Hmm.
But it's just another proof of her inspiration, because sure. This is amazing stuff.
Incredible.
And so anyway, let's take a look at it here. As medical science has discovered these electrical impulses, these hundreds of thousands of miles of wiring that's actually in our mind, this is what enables people to be able to jump from one thing to another. In other words, if I would say to our audience, can you smell a rose? Everybody can smell a rose, right? And this, you have a neural pathway that tells what a rose smells like, okay?
Mm-hmm.
In fact, let's go to the next slide. You're gonna see an area here on the next slide. This is your brain magnified 15,000 times, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And let's go ahead and throw a little circle in there in the bottom right corner. And you'll notice there that you have these little cobweb little strands. What you're literally looking at, physical neural pathways. They are there. And I want to point this out because it's so important. It's like a fingernail. It's like a hair follicle. These things are physically there. So when I just gave the example of what does a rose smells like, well, that little place you see in their circle, that little strand,
yes,
that is what a rose smells like. It's recorded in your brain in that physical neural pathway. All right? If I would say to you the taste of chocolate, like we have this cake here, all right?
Yes.
Everybody in our audience can tell what chocolate tastes like. Well, again, if you look at that little circle there on the screen, one of those little neural pathways there tells you what chocolate tastes like, okay?
Okay.
A song in your mind, like the song you just heard him sing, that is recorded now in your mind in a physical neural pathway. It's there, physically there.
Wow.
Everything you've tasted, everything you've touched, everything you've seen, everything you've smelled, everything you've heard, everything you've experienced in your life is recorded in this brain in the form of a physical neural pathway. It's there, and it's there forever. Now, think about the power of that. It's incredible.
Yes, it is.
When people realize this for the first time, that everything I've seen, tasted, touched, smelled, everything that's come into my five senses is recorded in this brain in the form of a neural pathway, then something else dawns on us, and that is, it's almost scary. My behavior is actually rooted in my nervous system.
Mm.
When I lose my temper, that's because it's rooted in my nervous system. When I'm happy, it's in my nervous system. Anything I experience in life is in my nervous system. And what happens is this. Emotion or feeling or thought is that little thin neural pathway is traced there in your brain. And they found something else interesting in medical science today. Anytime you reaccess that behavior, that thought, that feeling, that emotion, or whatever it may be, every time you access it, guess what it does? It adds another strand to that same neural pathway.
Oh, have mercy.
You repeat the behavior again, it adds another strand. You hear the word again, it adds another strand. Every time you repeat it, it adds another strand to that neural pathway until that physical neural connection gets stronger and stronger. All right, let's go to the next slide in the upper left-hand corner, and you're going to see something else very, very interesting here. As they point out in the left-hand corner there, you'll see that white mass. Look at that white mass up there. What you've got there is thousands and thousands and thousands of these neural strands all bound together. All right?
Mm-hmm.
This person, let's say that this person has a problem with his temper, and he loses his temper all the time. All right, every time he loses his temper, he adds another strand. He loses his temper the next day, he adds another strand. Then let's say he watches a TV program, and in the TV program, the people are mad and losing their tempers. It adds another strand up there. All right, let's say he reads a book, and in the book, people are losing their tempers. Well, it adds another strand if he thinks that way. He's on the job. He sees people get mad on the job, lose their temper, adds another strand. Every time he sees it, experiences it, hears it, it adds another strand. And so it's your literature right now. You're seeing that mass together. And when people say, I can't help, I can't seem to help myself. You know what? Right, can't.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason why. So now you're in your brain. And it's there forever. And so the more out of pattern of behavior, likely that your behavior becomes. The more you strengthen it by repetition, the strong people have cables in their brains to certain behaviors like depression, and they just get it all the time, right?
So this could be a tremendous blessing or a tremendous curse, cancer.
Because it works both ways. And that's you got to, because you use it positively or negatively. People that are always beholding things that make them negative or depressed or angry, it goes in their brain and it's there, and they're going to end up doing it. They can't
help it. So it gives them almost like a natural propensity to be negative.
Exactly.
And even when something, I know someone that's related to me.
Yep.
That my brother said to me once, he said, this person tells lies a lot.
Yep.
Okay.
Great example.
And he said, this is the only person that I know that will tell a lie when it's convenient to tell the truth. So what's happened, he's told so many.
Exactly.
This is all bundled up, and it's a mass that's taken over.
That's
so
right.
When any opportunity comes, his propensity is to tell the lie rather than the truth,
right.
Even if it isn't, even if he doesn't associate any harm with telling the truth.
Yep.
It's more pleasurable to tell a lie, I guess.
It's a cable. He's got a cable to that behavior, and he can't help it. When he says, I can't help it, he's right. He can't.
And I hope you're going to tell us how to change
that. That's what we're going to get into.
Wow.
In order to do that, let's take it a step farther. This point. We live in a world of what we call stimulated response. If I say to you, birds of a feather, what do you say?
Flock together.
How do you know?
Well, I've heard it.
You've heard it. That's right. Most birds don't flock together. Get a bird feeder and you'll figure that out real quick. They hate each other, okay?
Yeah.
But you had an automatic, you didn't even think about it. You didn't analyze it. You didn't you process it. You just had an automatic response. Mm-hmm. You were right, okay? If I say to you, a man is known by the company he
keeps.
Right on. You didn't think about it. It was an automatic conditioned response.
There's an influence on the minds of our children. In fact, there's a war going for the minds of humanity. And I hope that this short presentation has given you a small insight and a glimpse into what else is out there. Brothers and sisters, come on. Stand up for Christ and protect the minds. Thank you for your time.